Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 2nd, or if you are on the East Coast in the Central Time Zone, I should say good morning, and it's already December the 3rd in your time zone. So nice to have you with us tonight. We're going to continue along with the discussion and a little bit of reading. I hope that doesn't make anyone feel uncomfortable, but the real way to impart this information is to give it to you directly as it was put to pen and as it appeared in the Phoenix Journal. I'm going to skip news items for the time being. We may get into some of the things that are going on just from a discernment perspective. I've had a lot of email from folks who are letting me know that they are listening to the show. I'm happy to hear that. I want to encourage folks, if you haven't signed up to download or listen online, it's up to you. You don't have to download the audio files. You can listen to them right online. However, it's more convenient if you want to put them in an iPod or play them on your computer or other portable device that's capable of playing MP3s. You can listen to and download for 1 year with a one-year subscription all of the files on the BBSRadio.com site. And there's a lot of music that plays, too. If you haven't checked it out, do that. I try to make it a habit to hear new music all the time. I'm going to be planning on doing some music shows this month, interviewing various musicians. We're going to be talking about the sacred frequencies and the healing capacity of music and the role that it plays in the universe, not just here on Earth, because we are really in the universe, although we seldom recognize it. And there are things going on all the time that we're missing out on because our focus has been on illusion. And we're going to lay the law as it was given to us by Ezu Emmanuel, otherwise known as Yeshua or Jesus Christ. And this is just a reading, and we're going to comment afterwards, and I welcome your calls after I'm done with this reading if you want to discuss this at all or any other topic that's on your mind. When I do a solo show, I usually feel spirit provoking me to deliver a message, and so that's the reason I don't have a guest. In fact, I haven't booked any guests for the whole month, although they're waiting in line, and I lied a bit. I guess I should say Jim Murray will be on every Friday with us. But other than that, I haven't planned any guests because that spirit was telling me that we should get into some empowerment and a little bit of direction. Okay, I've been basically talking about the life of Christ or Emmanuel as it was transcribed by Judas Iscariot and also imparted by him, and this is in direct conflict with what has been written in many traditional Bibles. The purpose is not to cause dissension or to shake your faith, but to encourage you to consider that the transcriptions of, and I should say the many editions of the Bible, have omitted vast portions of text that lead us to the truth. And In addition to that, much of the text has been altered to suit the whims of a king or a queen and control us. We should be controlled by God's laws, and when man rewrites God's word and edits it and omits it and changes the meaning to be the meaning of the day, as if we don't know what the word ye or thou means, then it loses something. Now, Old English used those terms, and it's okay to say you or you or ye and thou. I don't have a problem with that. But it's when we change the truth and it begins to take on a characteristic of an illusion that then I have a problem. And we all end up having a problem because none of it makes any sense, or we misinterpret what the truth is that's coming through in the original text. We've talked about the original Hebrew, the Aramaic text. We've talked about the Septuagint on a past show. I think it was with Jim Murray we were discussing this. And the Septuagint would be the Greek interpretation of the Aramaic. So these are the earliest of the Bibles. And when we get into a language like English, which has really taken many phrases, many words, the meanings, and actually reversed them, flipped them upside down or inside out even. And we contradict what a word represents in and of itself when we separate syllables to make two words out of it. This is just going to be the pure truth, no embellishment. Now, I'm going to continue here reading from the next portion of part two of this material that was in the second of the Phoenix Journals back in 1989. I'm reading from Justice, the Laws of Nature and of Truth. He who violates the smallest law or violates the smallest commandment and teaches people falsely will be called the least, but he who spreads the teachings in truth will be called the greatest, and the Spirit will thank him. For I say unto you, if your righteousness is not better than that of the Pharisees and scribes, you will not receive the gratitude of the Spirit and of life. You have heard that it has been said to the old, ye shall not kill. But he who kills shall be judged by the court. I tell you, be just according to the natural law of the creation, so that you will find the judgment in logic and reason with wisdom. Guilty are all who do not act in self-defense or according to a given verdict when they kill or speak and practice evil. Justice, according to the natural laws of the creation, by itself elevates a verdict into logic. Do not accommodate or oblige your adversaries when you are right, and the judge will probably decide in your favor if thy judge be of honor and without parochialism and bigotry. Verily, I say unto you, you will obtain justice only when you find truth yourself and can make your fellow man understand of it. What he's saying here, first of all, is if you are teaching, teach the truth, speak the truth. If in regard to killing, if you must defend yourself, then killing is only justified in self-defense. The issue of a verdict is again dependent upon truth and the participants understanding what that truth is. So it's up to you to be able to communicate that truth. The next section on adultery, cohabitation, and marriage. You have heard that it has been said, you should not commit adultery, but I tell you, he who cohabits with someone other than his spouse and practices in the manner of one's bounded in marriage with such commitment should be cause to terminate such condition and circumstance, for it is unworthy of mankind, abhorrent, and filled with lascivious selfishness for physical pleasure without thought or responsibility unto the consequences thereof. It is in creation of unbalance and disharmony for us all at times, for at all times does such activity impinge upon the justness one to another. If one practice physical pleasures with ones of the same earth species of male or female, thy physical activities will be the carriers of disease and carnal consequences, for it is against the natural laws of the creation. For in thy logical reason, it is most obviously incorrect and ill-intended. Now, you can apply that to everything shown to us in the movies. You can apply that to the general lifestyle that you see people engage in the bars and public venues and out in the streets and in businesses where this occurs. And of course, it happens to people who are married, having their spouse cheat and sleep with someone else. If your right eye or your left eye vexes you, pull it out and throw it away from you. It is better that only one of your limbs be ruined and not thy entire body. If a thought beleaguers you, then destroy it and ban it from your mind. It is better to destroy a thought that incites annoyance and subsequent insidious behavior and not bring the entire world of thought into an uproar. It is further being said, he who separates from his spouse should give him or her a letter of separation. But I tell you, he who leaves his spouse except in the case of adultery, and I care not for physical legal documentation, but those also who do not dwell in the marriage rituals, cause the marriage to break. He who then marries one who has caused such a break is then also guilty of committing adultery. Basically, that's self-understood. In other words, if you're married and you're sleeping with another person, and then you get a divorce and you marry that person, you're both committing adultery. Still, there's a way to work that out. It speaks highly of the value and the importance of marriage, and that is, it is a sacred act. It is a sacred oath. It is a sacred bond to be honored. False swearing. Furthermore, you have also heard that it has been said to the old, you shall not swear falsely, but only keep your oath to God. But I tell you that you shall never swear, neither to heaven, which is infinite and cannot be measured, nor to the earth, for it passes, nor to Jerusalem, for it is not an eternal city, and is built by the hand of man. Nor shall you swear on your own head, for you cannot change the color of a single hair which springs forth from the root of the hair. Neither shall you swear by the memory of a person or thing, for all are fleeting. At all times, let your speech be only yes, yes, or no. Whatever is beyond that violates the laws. An eye for an eye. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, exercise justice according to the natural law of creation so that you find the verdict in logic and wisdom. Exercise love where it is warranted and punish where the law of nature demands punishment. Ye shall further remain with the laws of the creation in deciding justice, for ye may not impinge upon the laws of the creation in that which has already been laid down for thy judgment in wisdom. Give unto him who asks of you, if the request is made sincerely, and turn thee away from him who asks of you in dishonesty to deprive you of that which is yours, in order to elevate his own comfort and status. Many of you, going to make a comment here. Many of you know of people who, let's say, want to borrow a large sum of money, and they're really not doing anything themselves to earn a living, to make their way through life as the rest of us do. And so they figure because you have money, because you work hard and you have some extra money, that it's okay for them to ask you for that money. Now, many of us would give a person in need money, a person who has maybe had some misfortune in recent times, and or maybe that person was unable to work because of an illness or an injury, an operation, or maybe they lost their home. So you want to give them something to ease the burden that they're suffering through. There are ways to do it, I think, where you hold that person up in the highest esteem. Sort of like the teaching of give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and you feed him for life. And so I see nothing wrong with helping someone out, but we seem to be a very complacent, dependent society these days, and thinking that the government's going to help us, or I can just ask any of my friends to give me money, and I shouldn't think twice about returning it. That's what builds up the negative karma for the individual receiving the money, and possibly to some extent for the one giving it out. Now, you may say, well, how can you say that when that person's doing a very kind act? You may not be doing the best thing for that individual if you don't consider, and I don't mean out of judgment, but I'm saying considering what you're doing, are you making him or her become more dependent upon a handout rather than maybe giving them an opportunity to do something to warrant giving them that money? Emergencies come up. Yes, that's one thing, and people can ask to borrow money. But to give it to the person who has no intention of paying it back, you might very well be creating more negative karma for them, because you're not empowering them to overcome what it was that led them to that situation in the first place. And then you may be giving yourself more karma just because you've done that. It's not so much judging your generosity as it is judging what your generosity might compound in a situation where a person sees themselves as a victim or just doesn't care. They become apathetic and they figure the world owes them. The world owes us nothing. We owe the world, if anything. And we certainly owe God everything and the best of what we have. Back to the reading now. Give unto him who asks of you if the request is made sincerely. I think that makes sense after I expounded upon it a bit. And turn thee away from him who asks of you in dishonesty to deprive you of that which is yours, in order to elevate his own comfort and status. You have also heard that it has been said, you shall love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, exercise love and understanding according to the natural law of the creation, so that you act and feel rightly according to justice and logic. Exercise love where it is warranted and despise where the law of nature demands punishment. Now, that I like this line because it justifies what I do in revealing truth in historical contexts, as well as things that we are propagandized to believe instead of to know. How can we be taught to know by those who don't know? We can only be taught the illusions that they themselves have succumbed to. The next section, perfection of spirit. You shall be wise and learn knowledge, for you shall become perfect in spirit as the creation which created you. You shall train your spirit in the course of incarnations at many, many levels, and let your spirit become perfection. Thus, you can become one with the creation. And thus, it was that Emmanuel taught those ones who came unto him in search of wisdom and truth. He continued his teaching thusly. Watch your piety, practice it before the people with right words, lest you be accused by them of lying, whereby you find no reward from them. Choose your words in accord with logic and consider the knowledge and behavior of nature. When you give alms, you shall not publicize this as do the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets in order to be praised by the people who witness. Verily, I say unto you, they have no reward because they give alms solely for selfish reasons. Prayer. When you pray, you shall call upon the omnipotence of the Spirit, and you should not babble as do the ignorant and selfish, should not babble as do the ignorant and selfish, for they think that they are heard because they use many and grand words. The spirit of man does not require many words, but it requires the knowledge of its power. Pray, therefore, in knowledge to the almightiness of the Spirit, that its grandeur and power is infinite. Let me repeat that line, or those last two lines, actually. The spirit of man does not require many words, but it requires the knowledge of its power. Pray, therefore, in knowledge to the almightiness of the Spirit, that its grandeur and power is infinite. I once a couple of times since I've been broadcasting Evident Footprints, described the situation where I prayed that a man would get a heart, that he had been waiting 6 months, and he got one the next morning, 5 minutes before the deadline. I even spoke the deadline. Such is the power of prayer, and I can tell you it was the simplest prayer I ever said in my life. And it wasn't for me, it was for another person. I would have to trust that my prayer had some influence on that individual getting a heart. He needed a heart transplant and had been waiting and was on the precipice that we call death. I go on here now. If you do not know how to pray directly to the almighty power of the Spirit, then use instead something sacred through which you will enter into the Spirit. But never be like the ignorant, the hypocrites, and the selfish who revere some thing or object, believing that the almighty power of Spirit somehow dwells within it. Ye must be aware that the object is only an opening of the way through which the almighty power of Spirit can be reached within thyself. Therefore, pray as ones that know, and therefore you should pray thusly. This is under the heading, A Perfect Prayer. My Spirit, you are omnipotent. Your name is holy. May your realm be incarnate in me. May your power reveal itself within me, on earth and in the heaven. Give me today my daily bread, and thus let me recognize my transgressions and errors, and I shall recognize the truth. And do not lead me into temptation and confusion, but deliver me from error, for yours is the realm within me and the power and the knowledge forever. Amen. For when you pray to your spirit, whatever you request will be given to you if it truly is a desire. For believe with knowledge and you will receive. Now, that's an interesting phrase there. He said, believe with knowledge. not just believe, but he's describing now the conviction and the faith supported by the knowledge. Again, let me read this whole sentence. For when you pray to your spirit, whatever you request will be given to you if it is truly a desire, for believe with knowledge and you will receive. Spiritual poverty. If you believe in false teachings, namely that power and spirit do not dwell within you, then you will be without knowledge and live in spiritual poverty. Though you will receive now and then that which you will ask for in your false belief of alienated sanctuaries, idols, and gods, you will receive only because of your strong false belief, without knowledge of the real truth. For verily I say to you, blessed are only they who serve the real truth and knowledge, for only they are to receive in honesty. Rules to live by. Actually, we're going to come back to that in a moment. We're going to take a short pause here. I think this is a good moment to do that. This is a longer piece, and we're coming up on a break. So with that, I want to... thank everyone who's tuning in and ask you to stay with us. You are listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and we're going to be right back. So don't go away. More to come.
Storable food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle and is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian state going up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, and we're reading from a 1989 edition, volume number 2 of the Phoenix Journal. Rules to live by. Consider carefully the way you do of your fasting. If you choose a fasting, you shall not appear cross like the hypocrites, for they disguise their faces so that they appear to be something because of their fasting. How many of you know people who fast and they have this attitude that their fasting is something special that they're doing, and they have to draw a lot of attention to themselves? Verily, I say to you, they have no reward inasmuch as they fast only for selfish reasons, for the sake of appearance. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your countenance, lest you appear before the people with your fasting, but before your own spirit, which is hidden. You fast for the sake of your health, the expansion of your spirit, and knowledge and wisdom, and not else, or nothing else. Any other reason is self-indulgent and for the appearance unto others. Ye shall neither amass great treasures on earth, where they are eaten by moths and rust, and where thieves dig for them and steal them. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart, and the true treasure is wisdom and knowledge. When thy earth journey is complete, ye shall be separated from all earthly treasures, so better you build thy treasures in the realms of heaven. By the way, that piece of music that I used as bumper music from the commercial is an original that's going to be on my next album, and it happens to be called In My Heart. Coincidence, maybe. Or synchronicity. The eye is the light of your body. If your eye is clear, then your entire body will be light. Vision goes beyond that which is witnessed by a sighted eye. If your eye is evil, your entire body will be most dark. If the light in you is dark, how great will the darkness be? Nobody can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will adhere to one and despise the other. You cannot serve your spirit and the mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, do care about the knowledge of your spirit, about that which you eat and drink, and care about your body and what you will wear. For is it not the spirit life and the body more important than all the treasures of the world? The spirit of man, which is thirsting for truth and knowledge, cannot preserve his earthly life without his body, for they are one. Man should take care to increase the knowledge of his spirit, care about the laws of life, and have concern with food, drink, and clothing on behalf of his body, which houses his spirit. But ye shall not spend of thy time in concern of storing up great treasures, for ye need them not. Behold the birds of the sky. They eat the harmful insects, and they have feathers as clothes, yet they have no spirit. Now, I'm moving to another page here, so we have to wait for a moment. I apologize for that. That sometimes happens here. I'm reading this off of my computer screen. Okay, here we go. They work because this is their duty, and they are fed and clothed by the creation. Are you not more than they? You can think independently through your free spirit and the great and wondrous thinking mind God has given unto thee. You can work independently, and you can independently prepare food and drink and clothe your body, and it is your responsibility to do this for yourself. Behold the lilies in the marsh where they grow. They do not work, nor do they spin, yet verily I say to you, the lilies also fulfill their duty by giving pleasure to the eye with their beauty. I say to you that Solomon in all his splendor was not clothed as one of those blossoms. Should you not do so much more for yourself, since the creation sustains and clothes the grass on the field, which is here today and thrown into the oven tomorrow? The grass fulfills its duty by serving as fodder and fuel, but you, of little faith, are you not much more than the grasses? Therefore, take care for the wisdom and knowledge of your spirit, and take care lest you suffer from lack of food, drink, and clothing. For verily I say to you, if you suffer from hunger, thirst, and nakedness, wisdom and knowledge are driven away because of worry, for thy mind will not find freedom. Neither shall ye neglect your own attention to caring for self, in that ye depend upon another to supply these things unto you, unless ye are infirm and have an interval of inability to tend of self. First and foremost, think of the realm of your spirit and its knowledge, and of comforting your body with food and drink and clothing. You must ensure respite, that the body cannot be fatigued into illness, and you should not remove responsibility from others, and that you perceive ye should tend of others who can tend of themselves. You should take care in thy charity that it be worthy in its placement. Ye must also care for the following day, for tomorrow will not care for you by itself. It is enough that each day has its own care, so that you should not have to worry about the needs of your physical well-being, but ye should not dwell nor hoard for the supplies, but will but rot and deteriorate. Take care in moderation and in expected need, but do not place such stress on the morrow that ye do not use these things given unto you for the use of today. I could say that in one word, chill. Then Emmanuel asked those gathered with him to consider judgment. Judge not falsely, lest you be falsely judged, for with whatever judgment you judge, so will you be judged, and with whatever measure you measure, so will you be measured. Therefore, judge according to the logic of the laws of nature, which are from the creation, for they alone are true and accurate. What do you see but the splinter in your brother's eye, and are you not aware of the sliver in thine own eye? You hypocrite, first pull the sliver out of your own eye, and then see how you can pull the splinter out of your brother's eye. First learn the laws of nature and of the creation, their logic, before you judge and want to see the mistakes of your fellow man. First learn through the laws of nature and of the creation your own mistakes, so that you can correct the mistakes of your fellow man. You should never give sacred things unto the dogs, nor throw your pearls before the swine, lest they step on them with their feet and turn on you and tear you apart. For verily I say unto you, do not throw your spiritual treasures into the dirt, and do not waste them on those who are unworthy, for they do not thank you, and they will tear you apart, for their understanding is small and their spirit is weak. Ask, seek, and the golden rule. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he who asks of his spirit receives, and he who asks through the power of spirit finds, and he who knocks at the door of his spirit, to him it will be opened. Who is there among you, if his son asked him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked you for a fish, would you offer him a serpent? Therefore, if you, even though you are being wicked, can still give your children good gifts, how much more will your spirit give unto you if you request it? So be it. Everything that you would have people do unto you, also do that unto them. That is the law according to the prophets. Enter through the narrow portal, for the portal and the path leading to condemnation are wide, and there are many that walk thereon. And the portal and the path leading to life and knowledge are narrow, and there are only a few that find of it. Beware. Beware of false prophets and scribes who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they are like raving wolves, and preach to you humility to shrines, false deities and gods, and preach to you of humility to idols and false teachings. Beware of those who forbid you access to wisdom and knowledge and tell you to not go forth to hear what perhaps is truth, for they speak to you only to attain power over you and to seize your goods and belongings. Always search beneath the coverings to inspect that which they do not tell you, and further, check carefully those things that they extract from you. Truth and wisdom in truth are given with no price of treasure nor power of force. You shall recognize these ones by the fruit they bear. Can a person gather grapes from the thorns and figs from the thistles? Therefore, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a bad tree brings forth wicked fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth wicked fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Therefore, by their fruit shall you know them. Therefore, he who hears my speech and follows it is like a smart man who built his house on the rock, and he who hears this speech and does not follow it is like a foolish man built his house on sand. And when the flash flood rushed forth upon him and the strong winds were blowing against the house, it collapsed and fell. So be it that ye who have wisdom to heed my words shall reap of great unbounded rewards. And after Emmanuel had finished his discourse, the people were stunned and shocked at his wisdom and knowledge and were surprised at his teachings. For he spoke with total authority and severity of tone, a new teaching, and not as the other of their own scribes. They mumbled about amongst themselves in great wonder at this gentleman who spoke so emphatically of the truth which was laden with reason and logic. Now, I will continue this on a later date, but I thought I would mention this and sort of go over this in the context of what we're perceiving today, because really this is describing life as it's laid out pretty simply. This is not very complex. If we all practice these things, if we took care of our bodies, something we talk about on this show, if we mind what we eat, if we consider fasting as an opportunity to remove toxins from our system, we do so with that intention and not for the purpose of making a show out of it, to impress upon people. That's where the process itself is probably going to be sabotaged by our own egos. Everything that was suggested here is leading us to our true nature, to our true self, the way God created us. And to speak of the law or the laws of creation or the law of nature is so accurate in that everything we do has become mechanized or has been designed with some use of technology at the forefront. In other words, we can't do something unless we have the aid of a technological device doing it for us. We have that in electronics. Don't get me wrong, computers are wonderful machines or wonderful devices if they do what they're supposed to do and they're not bombarding us with radiation. But they do emit radiation, and so the proximity in which we sit in front of the computer, how bright the screen is, what type of screen it is, how loud the speakers are, what we might be feeding into our minds through sight or sound definitely has an impact on who we are, and who we are and who we are not has a direct impact on the rest of the universe. It's indisputable that that's the case. Yet this matrix that we're forced to live under and in on this planet was designed specifically to separate us from our true nature. So taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, considering your actions, considering what you do and how you approach life on a daily basis is certainly something that's going to lead you along a better path. as opposed to just being an automaton or a robot and or a zombie and just moving from moment to moment every day without considering where you're headed. The issue of taking an oath. Why take any kind of an oath if you're not going to keep it? It doesn't matter if it's in marriage or if it's in a legal proceeding or if it's a promise to your fellow man or to someone in your family. We don't take these things seriously enough. We're a bit flippant about them, and as a result, when that's noticed, and it may not be noticed on a conscious level, but certainly on a subconscious level, and certainly from the perspective of spirit, we know what's going on. I was listening to another show this evening, and one of my frequent guests, Michael Anthony, called into this show. It was on a Patriot Network. And he was talking about some things that had occurred on 9/11. And Michael was relaying some information about a man who had done some service work, some maintenance work on some aircraft that were used on 9/11. And this man swore that these, and I say he swore not in the sense that I was using the word swear, he insisted, we'll say, that he had done some maintenance work on the planes that were used to fly into the World Trade Center. Now, this is a monumental statement that this man was making. And Michael was sharing this with a particular talk show host who we will not name. However, this person was disputing the information Michael was coming forward with, and I only know Michael and my listening audience, and certainly his customers, know him to be a man of truth, and a man constantly in pursuit of truth, and one who speaks the truth. And so this talk show host just said, well, you know, have you ever been in the basement of the World Trade Center? All of a sudden, the issue is the basement. It's not about the planes and what they look like and how they flew. And because he had heard this through a friend, it was third-hand information and it had no validity. But we're supposed to believe this talk show host because he has been in the basement of the World Trade Center at one time or another. Had nothing to do with the issue whatsoever. But this was a person now who is dispersing or casting falsehoods, illusions, mistruths, disinformation about what most of us saw on 9/11. And his strongest argument was he saw this on television. My comment to Michael was, although Michael said he didn't have the chance to say this, I would have told this man, well, have you ever seen a movie on television? Of course, he's going to respond, well, yes. And I say, well, have you ever seen special effects? Well, yes. Well, do you think, have you ever seen a TV program? Not a movie, but just a regular weekly series or maybe even a nightly series. Have you ever seen any special effects there? And, of course, he's going to say, well, yes. So are you telling me that you couldn't see any special effects on 9/11? Are you telling me that because you hear the voice of a TV announcer that you think you're seeing a live show? Do you realize how many shows are taped and then presented to us live, even if they're on a delay? If you're not seeing it at the exact moment, it can be doctored. It can be altered. They can change the sound of a voice. They can show us a video, and they can translate the foreign language without us hearing what the foreign language is actually represented by. Without us hearing the foreign language, they begin a voiceover, and they lower the sound of the original tape, And you have to trust, you have to believe that what they're saying is true. Of course, if you can't hear the audio and or you don't speak the language, if you hear the audio, you're not going to make sense of it anyway. But don't worry, the news media is there to make sure you get the story straight, as they always do. Now, I made an interesting comment to Michael Anthony tonight, too. We heard accounts that airplanes were grounded, yet there were still airplanes flying. All the planes in the whole country were grounded, yet there were still planes flying. And there were certainly helicopters flying all around the World Trade Center and around Manhattan. And they weren't rescuing people. They were taking pictures. And it's on, or they were participating in bringing the buildings down. That is clear on a number of videos. So that's, if you're not familiar with that topic, then I suggest you do a lot of research. I can recommend to you many many good films that disclose some not so mainstream information that really reveals the truth. Now I wonder why, when our country was under attack, it was okay for the rest of us to be driving on the highways. All the planes had to come out of the sky, but it was okay for us to be driving on the highways, either as potential victims or maybe as car bombers. I wonder how many millions of cars were actually on the highways on 9/11, and I didn't hear anyone had to pull off the highway and park their car and get out of it and go someplace else. Just the airplanes. They had to make sure that no one could interfere with carrying out the plan, because it was a multi-dimensional stage, if you want to call it that. Hundreds of miles apart, these events were taking place. You see, when we begin to discern the truth, we really, if we're going to argue these things, then we have to account for possibilities other than what we're being told and what we think we see. What we think we see and what we see are two different things. This was in the teaching that I read tonight about removing the log in your eye, if you want to use that term. We tend to be a bit bigoted in our thinking, or prejudiced in our thinking, that, well, I saw this on TV, so that must be true. So whatever anyone says, even an eyewitness there on the spot, I know what I saw, so that's what I'm going to believe. Another example that people use is, well, I saw a person interviewed on TV, and they said that they saw the plane. I wasn't there, I didn't see the plane, but they were there, and they saw the plane. And every bit of scientific evidence can be refuted that if a plane can crash and burn on the ground from the heat of the fuel, it should disintegrate on a regular basis. If they can't put the fire out, and definitely if it crashes into a building like it did on 9/11, then all buildings should come down. I've seen planes crash into houses. I've seen the after effects of it, and the houses didn't fall down. Well, you can say, well, there wasn't enough fuel. Well, there's a big difference between a single-engine plane and I don't know how many gallons of fuel they hold, but let's say there might be, you know, there could be 100 gallons of fuel, or a couple hundred, depending on the size of the plane, how many engines it's got, whether it's a turboprop or a jet. The fuel burns at a certain temperature in the process of the flight. if it had the capacity to burn that hot, every airplane would melt in the sky. That no one would get to where they were going. So when the plane crashes, it burns, but it doesn't cause thick steel beams, 110 stories high, 47 of them, to collapse and bend in unnatural ways. Never in the history of the world did a skyscraper or any building do what the World Trade Center did on 9/11. And many have been hit by airplanes and burned for days and didn't fall down. Yet within the matter of minutes or hours, short hours, these buildings fell and into piles of dust and rubble. And where you had 3 months of a burning pool in the basements of these buildings. When you consider those things, when you really use just a modicum of thinking, you don't have to be a genius to understand this. That if a plane can fly burning the fuel within itself without melting, then it should be able to crash and burn and eventually have all the fuel burn itself off. Now, there might be some fire with that, but not the kind of fire that would implode concrete and steel 110 stories high. It just doesn't happen. And the fuel doesn't burn at the temperature to melt or to destroy the steel, especially that amount of steel. It doesn't. So there had to be another cause behind what brought those buildings down on 9/11. There has to be a reason why people were given an image of an airplane hitting the building. And it was an image of a passenger airplane, but we have accounts that passenger airplanes landed. For instance, one landed in Cleveland. Flight 93 was said to have landed in Cleveland. And they were checking it for bombs before letting the passengers off. Then we hear the plane crashed in Shanksville. And that plane crash covered 8 miles. Tell me how something hits the ground from a few thousand feet and travels 8 miles. We have meteors that don't do that. Coming from outer space at thousands of miles an hour, they don't travel that far. So at some point we stop thinking. Now, I read a passage on judgment, and the judgment here is based on observation and some thinking. Someone committed a murder. The murder of thousands of people. And it's been blamed on someone else, and the person that it's been blamed on is still being blamed, and we know that person died in 2001. December of 2001, Osama bin Laden died, but they have to have the boogeyman out there. So we have to keep believing in these illusions over and over. And I even warned a couple of weeks ago, I said, watch out, India is due for something. Why? Because Barack Obama, who is not the president-elect yet. They haven't had the delegates cast their vote, so he's not even the president-elect. What business does he have going to Pakistan? Now they're blaming, the Indians are blaming this on Pakistan. This Mumbai terrorist attack, they call it. Yes, people died, but they start wars under false pretenses all the time. They've been doing it for 13,000 years. They've had a lot of practice at that. Now, we haven't all been here for 13,000 years, but their families and their bloodlines have been here. And we've talked about that. Generation after generation, these people are seizing control. There are a few new players that work their way in there, but somewhere down the line, they're all related. they're related out of the darkness that they cast on this planet, if for no other reason. So tonight's show is basically about some principles for guiding your life, not worrying too much about this stuff. You know, it's okay to think it out and to talk about it and to reason and to understand what it is. We understand what evil is, and we understand why evil people do evil things. We don't have to keep tolerating it. We can end it. We can recreate something else. That's why we're here, is to have an experience of our own making, not of someone else's making. Imagine, just imagine, if you could create in their minds an image for what they would do to themselves for all they've done. They couldn't come up with enough torturous ways to punish themselves. Rather, they would turn that on us and punish us. And what have we done to deserve that? And more so, think about this until tomorrow night's show. What have we done to prevent that from happening? By the way, I gave sort of a riddle at the onset of, or the outset of last night's show, talking about an individual that was deprived of his mother at an early age, never knew his father, was not understood, took up a religion, even Christianity, gathered large crowds when he talked. Who am I was the basic premise. The world eventually found out who he was. No, I was not reading about Barack Obama. That piece I read on last night's show was about none other than Adolf Hitler. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I encourage you to listen to last night's show. Time to say goodnight to everyone. I want to thank Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Seth Hendrick for the sound. And most of all, I want to thank the listening audience for tuning in. I hope you learned something tonight. Or if you're listening to this on a podcast at a later time, whatever time of day it is appropriate, I hope you learned something from this broadcast. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.